Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome once again to your Inner City Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Daoud Elamine, coming to you out of the Port City of Wilmington, North Carolina, 365 days a year. Your Inner City Wake Up Call. Good morning. Events this week and events this month are very heavy because it's Black History Month. We're going into February. Check out our Black History page. We're doing a special feature every month. This month, Mother Cooper is our highlight for the day. We'll check the history out of Mother Cooper. We got a very special, we're going to do male, female every other day all month long. So by the end of the month, you're going to be 15 to 15. You're going to be loaded with your history. And we're going to give you some history you don't know about. We've got the Money Mob on Saturday at 1 o'clock at Crossland Beauty Supply. Make sure you make that. The other events are highlighted on the business directories page and the events calendar. Also, what we do want to mention, the trip to Raleigh by the NAACP, that is February 13th at 6:30 a.m. They're going to be departing at 6:30 a.m. The donation cost for the tickets is $20. They'll be leaving from in the Oleana Independence parking lot. But get your tickets from Deborah Baxwell, NAACP, C. Deborah, Tiba Johnson. Those are the two we want to highlight. There's much more going on, but check out our Black Business Directory and Events Calendar. You can get that on your No Couples page. All right, first day. We're ready to go into the 43 Days of Thoughts and Understanding by No Couples. 43 Days of Thoughts and Understanding. Let's get down. Let's get busy on day number one. It's called The Elephant's Tail. When I was about 15, we moved to the housing projects, to our house, own house across town. What probably attracted me and my brother to the house was the fact that both of our rooms were upstairs and our parents' master room was downstairs. For me, my attraction was the fruit trees. I felt very special that I could look out my bedroom window and see I had my own pear, plum, and apple trees right in my backyard. Now, instead of me riding my bike with my friends and jumping across Miss Jacobs' fence, I had my own fence to protect. In the summertime, I would watch that fence like a hawk. These were my trees, and although the fruit may be rotten to the ground, you are not stealing my fruit. Funny how we change into something we used to despise when we get a little power. Now, you think on that one. When I traveled back home last year to visit and do some book signing, my trees were still standing, but they bear no fruit. It seems that over time, trees are affected by insects and disease. So although they can be standing strong, they will eventually stop bearing fruit. I guess when I was younger, I was protecting the trees from the wrong enemy. The insects and disease kill trees instead of kids stealing fruit. Do you have termites around you that are eating away your soul or some fungus that is clouding up your mental capacity? It may be time that you do some pruning. You may also want to get some stronger pesticides and keep the ground well drained. The tree doctor recommends plenty of sunlight, moist and well drained soil at a pH of 6.0. If you're not bearing fruit that you want in your life, it may be time to check your levels and adjust them. Or you may need the fruit doctor. Last time I checked and was on my knees, he was still doing house calls. Black men in America are not producing fruit because our trees are dying, if not dead already. They are dead because they were not properly cared for by we who claim to be elders and fathers. They were allowed to be contaminated by the fungus of this world, planned and unplanned. It's only by fathers and elders accepting this fact that we can rejuvenate our trees and save our black males. In my travels, I often tell the story recorded by the late colonist William Raspberry called The Elephant's Tail. Some years ago, South Africa game managers had to figure out what to do about the elephant herd at Kruger National Park. The herd was growing well beyond the ability of the park to sustain it. A two-phase solution: transport some of the herd to Plainsburg Game Park and kill off some of those that were too big to transport. A dozen years later, several of the transported young males, now teenagers, start attacking Plainsburg's herd of white rhinos, an endangered species. They use their trunks to throw sticks at the rhinos, chase them over long hours and distances, and stomp them to death, a tenth of the herd. With no discernible reason. Park managers decided that they had no choice but to kill some of the worst juveniles. They had killed five of them when someone came up with another bright idea. Bring in some of the mature males from Kruger and hope that the bigger, stronger males could bring the adolescents under control. To the delight of the park officials, it worked. The big bulls quickly established a natural hierarchy, became the dominant sexual partners of the females, and the reduction in sexual activity among the juveniles lowered soaring testosterone levels and reduced their violent behavior. The new discipline, it turned out, was not just a matter of size and intimidation. The young bulls actually started following the big daddies around, yielding to their authority and learning from their proper elephant conduct. The assault on the white rhinos ended abruptly. This is the condition and the problem that faces black America today. How can we convince black men to take the challenge of being better fathers? And how can we count on America to give them the resources to do so? The first part of that problem, we'll do it no covers. The second part of that problem, we'll leave to America to do. I ran into a young man at my touch three, and immediately he started to tell me a story. His mother was in jail, his father was in jail, and his mother had just been sent to jail. And I looked at this young man, and I can see in his eyes all his hope was lost. Here was a young man whose father was already incarcerated. And he was explaining to me that his mother was incarcerated as well. He was living from house to house, from relative to relative. But in his eyes, all hope in his life was lost. And he was only about 16 years of age. Men, we have to step up to the plate. And sisters, we have to let our men step up to the plate. We are losing a whole generation of males, especially because I believe, and many of you know, that there has been an onslaught of the black male. We are living in a prophetic time. We are living in the same time when Moses arrived. We are living in the same time when Jesus came on the scene. And both Pharaoh and both Herod had one choice. A group of people were rising up and coming into power, and they had one choice: destroy the black male. I keep reminding everyone on this show, within 150 years of the progress we have made, and if you don't think that there are some, not all, but there are some powers within this world, there are some important people in this world, there are some that see that rise and fear that rise and have decided, if we eliminate the black male, then we can reduce or stop this rise from coming and one day ruling America. Obama is a sign of that threat to them. They see that. They, those powers that be that sit in those hidden places, see that as a threat. And the onslaught of the black male has started with Reagan, and it continues today with drugs, crime, violence, and the continuation of the prison industrial complex. When these men come out behind those walls, they are ruined. They are done. They have to be rejuvenated, reborn all over again. I see it every day. How do we stop it? We have to start at school level. We have to start at pre-K. We have to start at third and fourth grade. We have to start at middle school. We have to go in and give these young men, like I saw the other day, we have to give these young men some hope. We have to give these young men some encouragement on a daily basis, because what they're facing is equivalent to a war zone in Iraq and Iran and Kuwait. It's equivalent to a war zone that they go into every day. And they're fighting and surviving at a rate that is unparalleled in history. They're dying. We're losing them. And if we don't stop it, if we don't stop it, we won't have a future. Sisters, if you have young men that you're trying to figure out what to do with them, I give you first one suggestion. Figure a way. Find a way to get their father back in their life. When I mentor children, I tell mothers all the time, there's nothing really I can do if the father is not involved. That's my first goal. My first goal as a mentor is not to come in and be the father. Some mothers come and they think I'm going to become the father. No, my first goal is to try to convince her to help me get the father back into the picture. Yes. The first goal is to get the father involved, because that man, that young man that I'm looking for me is probably just like that father and going to have the very nature and tendencies of that father. So it's important for me to get that father, his father, back in his life. Oh, his father's incarcerated. Now that produces a different story. Now we have to come in and be the father until that father gets out of jail. However, we have to establish a communication with that father while he's in jail, so that when he comes out, he can become a better father. And he can help guide his son in the direction that he does. Mentors do not replace fathers. I'm going to say that over and over again. Mentors do not, cannot replace the father. Okay, how bad you think he is, he's the father. And that son needs that father. He needs them for the good, and he needs them to learn from the bad. Mentors can't replace that. Mentors can only be a substitute band-aid for a time being. But at the end, I promoted no covers, a connection with the father. And a father, a connection with his son. And the mother, whether she wants the father or not, whether the father wants the mother or not, you had the child. And the child needs the father. Fathers, you can't get back in the house. Fathers, you can't get back in the home. Here's what I want you to do. You sit on that front porch till you get let back in. You sit on that front porch every day until you find a way to connect with your son. But you don't walk away. You don't leave him by himself. Because look at your own life if it's happened to you. If it didn't happen to you, by God, you know better. Fathers to sons and sons to fathers. That's the solution. That's the number one solution that we push at No Covers. Mentoring is secondary. The number one solution to save this onslaught of black males is fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. This is your brother, No Covers. This is day one. Keep running and keep running with the elephant tails. You'll find today's topic on our Facebook page at No Covers. Again, send all your comments to nocoversnoocovers@gmail.com. Peace and blessings this morning, and keep running.
Today's show, sponsored by No Covers, can be found on No Covers Facebook page. Also, you will find the video at YouTube under No Covers. That's N-O-O, Covers, C-O-V-E-R-S. Thank you and have a blessed day. I'm your host, Al Relevant.